Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are here to meet with you. We are here, Lord Jesus Christ, to hear from you. We are here, Holy Spirit, to be guided and empowered by you. We invite you, Triune God, to minister your will to us this morning, to guide us, direct us, empower us, to make us more like Jesus, to give us what we need for life and for godliness, and to use us to extend your kingdom as we leave here empowered by your Spirit today. Guide my words. I submit myself fully to you. Guide all that takes place in this room. Superintend over all that happens and be glorified. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'm glad that you set your clocks and got here on time. It's good to look to God's Word as we begin this morning. I want to encourage you, as we are on a journey this year of digging into God's Word, to see God's Word as renewing your minds. God's Word as renewing your minds. And we're going to see that word in a few different scriptures today. One of my favorites is Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1 and verse 2. Reading from the English Standard Version, it reads this way, Romans 12, 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, that is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The renewal of your mind. When we see this phrase, we're not just talking about something that was in existence being made, being restored. I had a 47 Nash coupe as a teenager that I had visions of restoring. When I was away while in seminary, my dad got tired of storing it in his barn and he sold it and said, oh, by the way, you won't find that when you come home. I got tired of it being in my barn for 15 years or maybe it was longer than that. He cleared it out because I never got around to restoring it. But we're not talking about that type of restoration project. We're talking about something being completely made to be a new entity. The Scripture is telling us, let your mind be renewed. So you have a new mind. Now that sounds pretty good to me. I know I need a new mind, do you? Sometimes my mind goes in directions and focuses on things and comes up with ideas that are so contrary to what I want it to be doing. We need a new mind. And God wants to give you a new mind. It's the process of Him giving you this totally, radically different mind from God. It starts by God saying, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Now, we know what it means to be conformed to the world. It means that you dress like the people around you. It means you do your hair like the people around you. It means you talk like the people around you. I'm fascinated by accents. Last night, as a little game at some friend's house, I tried to learn how to speak in a Welsh accent. I gave up on that very quickly because I realized just trying to talk out loud to myself in the mirror in the bathroom, that I really stunk at that, so I didn't try to do it very long at all. You pick up an accent from the people around you. You conform to the culture in which you grow up in which you live. But are you? Are you being conformed to something that is contrary to the will of God? Are you being conformed to the world that's going away from God? Scripture says here, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. You know, that word transformed, the Greek word for that is only used one place in the Gospels. But you won't find it, the English version transformed in the Gospels. They translate that Greek word into a different word in the Gospels. And I think that that other word gives us greater insight into what's being talked about. You'll find that same Greek word used in the Gospels, particularly, here's one example, Mark chapter 9. It reads in Mark chapter 9, starting at verse 2, "And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them." It's the same Greek word, but here they translate it transfigured instead of transformed. Jesus was transfigured, or we could say Jesus was transformed before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared with them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And it was this grand encounter. Then there's the booming voice from heaven, and there's the disciples falling on their faces in fear. But Jesus, in his body, was transformed or transfigured. Now, what was happening there? Jesus, who is God eternal, became flesh when he was born, or when he was conceived and then was born and then grew into adulthood. He was walking around in a body. That body did not exist before his birth or his conception. He was always the eternal God, but the body came about approximately 2,000 years ago. That body is eternal now. That body continues on into the future as Jesus was dead and buried, but then rose again and ascended into heaven in bodily form. But on that mountain, something that had never happened before broke out. Jesus' body was transformed or transfigured and started to shine out the realities of the glories of his divinity, so that the spirit of Jesus started to shine through and become almost apparent through a transparent body. The glory of Jesus shone through his body. The disciples were afraid of the glory, the grandeur, the brilliance of this. It's the same word. That hits me because we are invited to be transformed by the renewal of our minds as we let the Spirit of God in us flow through us, minister through us, do his perfect work in us as we participate in the glory of God, and it radiates out, changing us into a greater and greater degree of the glory of God. Now, I know that you sometimes get distracted by your body. I have a bandage on this finger because this fingernail is hanging on by just a little bit of an edge there, and it's going to get caught on some clothing or something and get ripped off the rest of the way. It didn't like getting smashed against the concrete floor when my son was helping me do a repair project in December. So it's been gradually growing out. I need that fingernail to be made new eventually, but it's taking time. It's a damaged part of my body. And many parts of our bodies get damaged, but one day our bodies will reflect fully the glory of God. We're invited now to let our bodies be transformed and our minds be transformed and brought into conformity, not with the world, but with the will of God and the glory of God. Going back to Romans, he says, I urge you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's what we do. He calls it your spiritual worship or your appropriate act of ministry service. That's what we're invited to do. It's a response, but it's a response to what God has already done. This chapter 12 follows 11 chapters of Paul describing the work of God, how God has rescued, how God has intervened, how God has said, you're still a sinner, stuck in sin, but I love you, and I'm going to do something to solve this issue. While we were yet sinners, God sent His Son to be sacrificed and to pay the price of our debt. And it says we are, as believers, made into new entities, so that now, chapter 8, there's no condemnation for those in whom the righteous requirements of the law have been fulfilled. We are now spiritually alive to God, forever in an eternal relationship with His greatness, welcomed into His presence. Because all this is true, live out that reality. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. See, your mind is where you think about things. Your mind is where you think about yourself. So how do you see yourself? If you see yourself as a sinner, you're going to sin. If you see yourself as someone who just continually gives in to temptation, you're going to give in to temptation. One of the lectures I was listening to was a gentleman talking about things from more of a psychiatric view of things. And he was saying this point. He says, if you think you can't, then you won't. If you think you can, then you very might possibly succeed. What's the issue? The issue is, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about things the way God thinks about them? Or are you thinking about them the way the world does or the way your fallen humanity does? So you're going through life and you come into a situation, and every other time you've seen that situation or you encountered that situation, you've given in to that temptation. You've fallen into sin. So what do? This time you get there. You see that thing, you're exposed to that thing, and you start thinking, well, I've never gotten through this before without falling, so I suppose I'm going to sin again. What do you think is going to happen? The chances of you resisting that sin or that temptation are very slight. You're probably going to give in to it because you think, I don't have a choice. I always have given in the past, so I guess I'm going to give in again. And you just allow yourself to fall into that sin and that temptation. But what if you were immersing yourself in the truth of God? What if you let Scripture tell you who you are? What if you read Scripture and it says you've been having your mind renewed, that you're being made into a greater and greater image of Christ? What if you hit that same situation, instead of saying, I'm just a sinner, you say, I'm a saint. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. Jesus has rescued me from sin, paid the debt of my sin, conquered sin, removed the power of sin. I don't have to give in to that temptation. The odds of you being able to resist that temptation have now just greatly increased. Will you be successful every single time? Probably not on this side of heaven. But let's change our mindset. Let's let Scripture dictate how we encounter things, not the world. Don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. I think we ought to be talking to our mind. Some of you are pretty good at talking to yourself. Well, go ahead and add in talking to your mind. Hey, mind, think God thoughts. Hey, mind, remember what the Scripture says. Hey, mind, remember your true identity in Christ. Start acting, body, like my spirit knows I really am, instead of giving in to the lies of the world and the standards of the world. Here's another scripture that is related to this. It's Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 reads, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding. They are alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ." What's he doing here? He's drawing a contrast, a stark contrast that we should be aware of and saying, yes, that is what the world's like. And I used to live that way. But not anymore. That is the world's way of thinking. That's the world's way of behaving. But that is not the way of those who have learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about Christ and were taught in Christ, as the truth is in Jesus, to do what? To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful desires. In other words, Paul is saying, because you are new, because you are saved, because Jesus is living in you, stop just giving in to the world. That's what the world does. But that's not your identity anymore. That's your former manner of life. But we are called to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. What an interesting phrase. To be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Who are you? I think that last phrase should describe you, not the previous paragraph. Can you receive that? This is God's word. Will you receive God's word as your new identity? This says, put off the old manner of things that are corrupt and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Put on the new self created after the likeness of God. When I look at you, I should see you becoming more and more conformed to the image of the likeness of God. Is that a high calling? Absolutely. Is it easy? Probably not. Is it possible? With the help of Christ and His Spirit only. Is it your calling? Absolutely. This is what a true follower of Christ is to set as goal, that I would be putting on the new self that is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So now I get up and I walk into a situation that day and I think of myself, I'm filled with Christ. I'm filled with the Spirit of Jesus. I'm being made every day into the likeness of Christ. True holiness, true righteousness. I encounter that temptation and I say, oh, that's the former way of life. I don't give into that temptation anymore. I don't live that way anymore. Oh, I used to, sure. But God forgave me. You can even take this step. Oh, devil, thanks for putting that temptation in front of me to remind me of what God has done to rescue me, to remind me how far Jesus has taken me, and remind me of my new identity. Just keep talking to the devil whenever he tempts you and thank him for reminding you of the grace of Christ and your salvation and your new identity, and he'll probably stop tempting you with that one. It's true that we are sinners saved by grace. But can we emphasize the right word? Saved. We are sinners saved by grace. And as sinners who are saved by grace, we now live in that grace. And we operate in that grace. And we make choices in that grace. And we immerse ourselves now in the truth of God. So we start acting more and more godly and more holy and more righteous. We are being renewed day by day. I asked my wife this on the drive-in. I say, give me the name of one of those real expensive creams that women can put on their face that they give these grandiose claims that they'll renew their skin. And she said, I don't know. I think it's because she doesn't need them. Her skin doesn't need any of that kind of stuff. But there are marketers out there trying to get people to spend thousands of dollars on something with the promise of making their skin look new. Let me tell you what the answer for being renewed. It's the Word of God that leads you into encounter with the Spirit of God so that the Lord Jesus Christ does His perfect work in you so that your mind and even your body are brought into conformity with the Spirit living inside of your spirit so that you become transfigured into an ever-increasing level of glory. One of the key ways to participate in this is by immersing yourself in the Word of God. Our Old Testament reading for today is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. It's when Joshua was being told by God Almighty that he was now going to be the leader of the people. Moses had died. Joshua was promised that God would be with him and that God would help him, that God would use him to lead the people across the Jordan River and into their inheritance as into the promised land, into the territory that was stretched far and wide that would be theirs. And God says to be strong and courageous, for you shall cause these people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 8, but this book of the law, this word from God, these written down words from heaven, from the mouth of God, these words shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you keep saying them. But you shall meditate on it. That's your mind mulling it over, thinking about it, day and night. And what will result from that? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What God promised to Joshua, God is promising to you. He's saying, think about my word. Read my word. Listen to my word. Mull it over in your mind. Let it continually be in the front of your thoughts day and night. Hear God's word so it counteracts the lies of the world and the lies of the flesh and the lies of the devil. So that you're thinking about yourself the way God declares you to be. So you're thinking about God the way He truly is. And so you're thinking about the world with a proper understanding of its pitfalls and problems. And so that you're setting your sights on the things God wants you to set your sights on. So that you're calling out to God for salvation, saying, Jesus, rescue me from my sin. And then you're walking out that salvation. You're receiving grace to save your soul, and then you're receiving grace to now live more and more like Jesus, so that you're in the process of being transformed by the renewal of your mind through the Word of God. It's basketball playoff season. If a team goes into a game thinking, there's no way we can beat this team, we don't have a chance, I can guarantee you, they're not going to play up to their potential. And if you go through life thinking, I don't have a chance of beating temptation today, I don't have a chance of loving my wife the way I'm supposed to, I don't have a chance of keeping my temper under control, I don't have a chance of handling my kids properly today, I don't have a chance of interacting with my coworkers in a healthy way, I can guarantee you, you're not going to live up to your potential. But if you go into each day saying, God, I receive you as Savior, Holy Spirit, I receive you as sanctifier and empowerer and guide, and I immerse myself in the truth of God's Word, I'm letting my mind be renewed so I'm being transformed into the very image of God in my behavior, you will grow in your success of carrying out the will of God and extending the kingdom of God. That's your mission. Your mission is not to just eke out an existence. Your mission is to build the kingdom of God and to do the will of God. There are people who need Jesus, but they can't see Jesus. But if you are transformed by the renewal of your mind, Jesus will shine through you, and your words can be the words that Jesus has put inside of you as you share the Word of God. You become the agents of Jesus on this planet. Lift up your sights. Lift up your goals. Lift up your sense of calling. You are God's people. Let's live like God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we receive your word this morning. We choose to be like Joshua and hear you say that you will be with us and you will give us success. So we will be strong and courageous. We will not be dismayed. We will let you be our God who is with us wherever we go. And we will allow you to continually renew our minds. Renew our minds with your truth. Renew our minds with your word so that we're seeing things through the lens of your perfect will. We receive that. Receive the ability to even understand and participate in your good, pleasing, and perfect will as we go through our days. Lord, give us the confidence we need to withstand temptations and not just eke out an existence of avoiding sin, but to advance your kingdom, to be more and more like Jesus. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.